Hello and welcome, everyone. Can everyone hear me just fine? Yes, good. Good. Well, welcome, everybody. It's so good to be back. And so the next satsang will be on November 2nd, or I'm sorry, November 4th, the next Sunday, the first Sunday in November. Let's call it that. At the end of the month, I'm going to be at the Science of Non-Duality Conference giving two talks. That's in San Jose, California, on October 25th through the 28th. On November 17th and 18th, I'll be at the Victory of Light Holistic Festival in Cincinnati, offering two satsangs. And then in January, January 18th, 19th, and 20th, I'm going to formally invite you to come join us in the Aspen Valley in Carbondale, Colorado, for a 3-day meditation retreat. And so please, there's details for all of those on my website. Also, I'd like to thank everyone who's been supporting the program, and a special thanks to Kiaria, Myrna, as well as Butch again. So thank you all for your donations. And this program, it reaches so many people all across the world. And so when you're offering a donation, you're offering a great support in sharing the Dharma. So I want to thank you, and thank you for those supporting to help this program spread and be heard by others all across the globe. So thank you all so much for that. So I'd like to welcome everyone. Welcome Suzanne and Adrian and Ivy and Patricia. Of course, everyone awakening together. Thank you. Thank you for joining me and hosting this time. So I thought we might just start off by just spending a couple minutes here going inward, and so you can close your eyes, but open your hearts. So let us take a couple deep, full belly breaths. Connecting to what's true, to this quiet yet silent presence. Deeply silent presence, just vast, spacious, and free. And so I'm going to invite you to join me in just breathing deeply, going inward. Really having the courage to put everything down, to dropping everything. If you're on the internet, to saying no to the multiple tabs and the clicking around, but just to sit down and stop, to come to an absolute stop. And as you stop the energy of grasping or reaching outward, I would invite you to fall inward, to fall open into this depth of silence, this depth of freedom. Give yourself permission to be blessed, blessed by this moment. Blessed by God's grace, the grace of peace, the grace of love. The grace of emptiness. And so all of us together, can we simply breathe and feel? Feel what's good, what's true about you, what's beautiful about you. So often in our days, we're running around here and there, chasing this thing and that thing on the internet, clicking here and clicking there. But I'm going to invite you to come inward, to feel, to experience the silent radiance of your heart, this beauty, this innocence. Gentle flow. And so, can you follow this inward? Invite the radiance of the heart to spread down into the solar plexus, into the hara. And the pelvis. The sacrum, just waking up. Waking up all these chakra centers. Waking up the whole subtle energetic body. And so we are saying yes. Yes to this quiet radiance. Yes to this divinity. Yes to this absolute wonder that you are. We're saying yes. And so we're relaxing in the legs and the feet. Relaxing the throat chakra. Space of the mind, the crown chakra, and so we're inviting everything, all seven chakras fall open, and the whole energetic body to be receptive to this quiet divinity within you, spreading throughout, waking up throughout your being. And what you truly are is this vast, radiant, luminous, beautiful presence. And so I'm inviting you to have the courage to own that, to step so fully into yourself, so fully. And so you're opening. You're opening to this peace, to this calmness that you are. We're opening to it. And so we're noticing this peace, this calmness, this very simplicity of being. If you feel into the depth of your heart, it's not arguing with anything. If you feel the quiet, radiant power in your belly, you feel whole, you feel complete. And so within this space, if your mind is busy, if your mind is active, you can just gently notice that. Gently notice it. You don't have to make it be quiet. You don't have to fight with it. Simply notice the busyness. But what is much more powerful is if you pay more attention to the silence, to the quiet radiance that you are. Quiet radiance. And so can you give yourself permission to wake up, to be receptive, to receive the grace, the love, The freedom of your heart. Can you give yourself permission to fall into the emptiness of the mind? You can notice the thoughts, but don't give them too much attention. In the same way, if a dog is barking in the background, you just notice it. But you pay more attention to the silence, the stillness, the freedom, which is here right now. And so from this space, from this space of openness, from this space of freedom, I would invite you to bring just a gentle awareness to your crown chakra and just allow God's grace to pour down into you. You may feel just this very subtle, brilliant light. So we welcome this light. This is the light of transformation. Coming down from heaven. And so allow yourself to be blessed by the Divine Mother. Open your heart, open the fullness of your body to receive this grace from above. And simultaneously, you're opening, you're awakening your true nature. The depth of what you are, the God in you. Waking up the God in us, the God in you, the God in me, the God above. We welcome it all. We welcome it all. And so you're giving yourself permission to allow this grace to pour down into you, to have her way with you, to have her way. And then simultaneously, if you're energetically awake, you may notice there's also a grace that's coming up from below, from the earth below, that matter itself is waking up in you, as you. And so all these energies of awakening, awakening from below, coming up, going up the spine, out the top of the head, the energies of grace coming down from heaven, flooding your body, blessing you with this transformational light. And then yes, your heart waking up from the inside out, you feeling and experiencing. This quiet, radiant love that you are. That you are. And so if your eyes are closed, you're welcome to open them. And I invite you just to look around the room, to see life from this space of silence, to see life from your big and open heart. I invite you to continue to receiving these energies of grace, this transmission of love and light. And if you notice your mind being busy, or if you notice your emotions stirring, that's okay. I'm going to invite you to notice that there's room for this here, that there's room for this. And so, yes. Yes, Adrian in New York asks, Craig, there has been a shift in my consciousness. A peace, a calmness, and a presence has come forward. It's within me all the time. However, the mind seems to have gotten more active, even though it's not having its way like it used to. What's going on? Well, Adrian, this is common on the path. You know, when you discover, when you step into this silence, the silence wakes up in you, you're going to become more consciously awake, consciously aware of everything within you. And so the more this light, this peace, and this presence wakes up, the more aware you will be of your humanity. And what you'll begin to find is, it's very much, you know, the same like when my wife comes home. If I'm watching, if I'm just hanging out with my daughter, and my wife comes home, my daughter's with me, we'll just be hanging out and being quiet, you know, just resting and relaxing. But when my wife comes home, she's very vibrant, very, very alive. And as soon as she walks in the door, that little girl of mine, she gets so excited. She just goes running toward the light. You know, I think she might think her dad is like a little bit boring, you know, but her mom is this bright light. And so my daughter will just run to my wife. It's very much the same with our thinking mind or with our psyche. If there's a busyness to it, if there's an agitation, if there's unresolved, you know, wounds or pain, when you shine the light of awareness, you know, the energies of the unconscious, they will start to run literally towards that which is conscious, just like a moth toward a flame, because they're wanting to be burned up, they're wanting to be seen, they're wanting to be heard. But if it's just simply if it's purely mental activity with no emotion behind, you see it, you notice it, and your job is to bring it into the light, to bring it into the peace, to invite it into the calm. Eventually it will burn itself out. One of the definitions that the Buddha gave of nirvana, of total liberation, was like a coal. You know, if you ever hang out by a campfire and you see those embers, you know, at the 10 o'clock at night when you're throwing logs on the fire, the embers are, and the coals in the fire, they're really hot, and they're bright red. But if you're there at, you know, if you've ever gotten up at 4 in the morning and looked at that campfire, well, the embers, they start to go from bright red to black with a little bit of red. And eventually they fizzle out. Eventually they fizzle out. And so if you bring the light of awareness to it and give them space, you know, all this busyness of the mind will eventually calm down, will eventually release itself. You know, if we go back to what I was saying about my daughter, my wife comes home, my daughter goes running to the door and is very, very excited. And after my wife gives her some attention for a couple minutes, and the little girl, she calms down. She calms down again. The same is true with our thinking mind. If we meet it with love, non-attachment, and by that I mean we don't get too carried away, we don't get lost in the thoughts, but just gently notice them. Eventually they will calm down and empty out. The other thing, Adrian, is with you, because you're one of these individuals who has a lot of kundalini, sometimes when the kundalini comes up into the third eye chakra, it starts to flood the thinking mind, and there'll be a lot of thoughts for a period of time. But eventually, if you stay with the peace and don't act any of the thoughts out, again, same thing, they'll eventually fall away. Yes, that's a beautiful question, Adrian. Thank you. Of course, if anyone else has a question, please bring it forward. I've got a couple or a handful from the emails here. Hi, Craig. My name is Will. Long time ago, I saw you on BatCap, Buddha at the Gas Pump. And here's my question. For parents who are on the path of awakening, How soon in their children's lives should I start conveying the idea that while they have names and forms in one sense, they are much more than that, and it would be good if they attach lightly enough to their name and their form, their sense of identity. And how has that worked out? So then he's asking, this question feels non-trivial given the foundation of so much of our psyche is formed quite early. Thanks in advance for your thoughts, Will. Yeah, so basically the question is should we should we share non-dual teachings with our children about no self, the falling away of the self, the falling away of the ego, ego death, these types of things, and that they are not what they think they are. I'll say this. I'm going to give a big fat no to that. And here's why. I say that with a smile, you know. Teachings that, about no self and not having an ego and not being the body, not being the mind, that they're not helpful to children. Because there is this path in this world. God has a plan for all of us. And one of the plans, one of the causes and conditions of this world is that as human beings, we develop. And so if we prematurely tell a child that they are not their mind, they are not their thoughts, they're not their body, they're not their emotions, they're not their ego, we're actually just going to confuse them. What's very healthy is if a child develops and has a strong ego, has a strong, healthy egoic development in between ages 0 to 18, I'd say even 0 to 21. I mean, that's very good, for a child to know who they are, where their boundaries are, where their body stops, and where someone else's body begins, It's good for them, to have a strong, healthy egoic sense of identity. It's necessary. For individuals who don't get, oftentimes they develop mental illness, or they have intense unworthiness issues. If you don't have a strong, healthy ego, you can become quite delusional. One of the main causes of schizophrenia is, kids, they didn't get a chance to develop appropriately. They didn't make it through all the healthy stages of ego development. And so the beautiful thing is once you make it through all the healthy stages of of good, just healthy ego development, again, knowing who you are, what you're about, what your beliefs are, what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's bad, what's up, what's down, this is your body, and if you keep your hands off of other people's bodies, this type of thing. And if you're able to listen to your heart, and to follow your desire, your dreams, and like good, healthy desire, like what career path you want, or what vocation you want, all of this is good. And if you ever look at any great master, they have a very strong sense of self. Very strong sense of self. They are powerful personalities. Now, despite all this talk about the personality dissolving and egos dissolving and this and that, if you ever hang out with the true master, they tend to be firm. They tend to have appropriate emotions. They tend to know who they are, where their body ends, and someone else's body begins. They have this sense of personal autonomy in the world. And so when you follow the stages of true healthy ego growth, you get to a place of not being so egocentric, but you become this autonomous being who's living in alignment with heart. Living in alignment with the heart. Now, of course, it is helpful, if you see your teenagers struggling and they're spending 25 minutes in the bathroom before school, using a whole can of hairspray on their head, trying to get their hair just right. Yeah, you can let them know it's okay. if their hair doesn't look just perfect, that they're not their hair. I can remember Ajashanti, he was talking about this when, trying to get his hair just right, and not many people have seen him with hair, but he said when he was a kid he had this, this curly wild hair, and he could never make it sit just right. Mine was the same way. It's just always a mess. Never knew what to do, so I solved it by wearing a hat all the time. He solved it by shaving his head off, shaving his head. And so, it's good to know. Yeah, you're not your body. You don't need to take it so seriously. You don't need to take your thoughts so seriously. But the more we try to push these ideas on our children, the more they're probably going to rebel and think we're crazy. It's good for teenagers to experiment with their identity, because if they do it when they're teenagers, then they don't have to do it when they're adults. I don't know if any of you remember this, but back, I don't know when it was, but I think it was like in the late 90s, there was this, what was he? Country Western singer named Garth Brooks. And, he created this whole, he sold lots of albums, read all these songs as a country western singer. And then at one point he had like a little bit of a mental breakdown or something strange happened in his life. And he's decided that he was going to start a goth, like rock metal band. And he dressed up in all black and wore makeup. And it was like he went through this whole alter ego thing. Like that's crazy. He just took it a little too far. He got carried away. And my thought was that, and I don't know if this is true or not, but as a kid he probably didn't have a healthy ego development. Just something was a little off there, and so he had to play it out, when he was an adult, when he was a musical superstar of some sort. It was one of those things where he really fell on his face, and he tried the goth thing for like 6 weeks and then quickly decided that was a really bad idea. But it still makes me chuckle. There was this other kid, Corey Feldman, who was like a child star when I was a little kid, back in the 70s or 80s, and he did the same thing recently. He came out and tried to start some alter ego thing like in the last couple of years and turned into this big mess. And so if we don't have healthy ego development, then we tend to crash and burn as an adult. We tend to spin in circles as an adult. And so it's good. It's good to have healthy ego development so we can hold the job, so that we, we're not just like the hippie who's lost in the park for the rest of our life. It's good to have this thing. But eventually, after we get, to 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, it can be very healthy, to start letting go of some of that, to not taking yourself so seriously, not taking your image so seriously. And so in regards to children, the best thing you can do for kids is to teach them that what they are is fundamentally good. Fundamentally good in their souls. That goes much further than telling them they don't exist. You tell your child they don't exist, you might cause them to have some existential crisis when they're 13 years old. There's enough of us who went through that. Like I started having these non-dual awakenings when I was 13 or 14. And things got really weird in my mind and my psychology when I was sitting in my room going into states of meditation and, feeling as if I didn't exist. Fortunately, I also had a clear sense that I did exist and that what I was good, that what I was divine. And so the most helpful thing you can do for your child, and I'll even say this for yourself, is to know that what you are is innately good, that what you are is innately divine. Is innately divine. It's one of the most loving things you can do. So if you're a friend, if you're a partner, if you're a healer, if you're a massage therapist, if you're, whatever it is you do in this world, when you look out at others, can you see them as God? See them as divine. See, it takes great courage, to step out of our egoic way of being and choose to see life from our heart. To see life from our heart. When you do this, it's one of the most healing things you can do. To see yourself as divine, as God, and to see all of life as divine, as God. Even if the human container, the human shell is, how should I say this, confused, Like I have a 17-year-old daughter, and this weekend, boy, was she giving me a hard time about everything. And so I can see in her heart, she's absolutely divine. I have total love for her. In her humanity, though, sometimes she can be a little bit of a bear to me. But that's okay. She's supposed to do that. That's her way of, what's the word I'm looking for? Individuating. And it's good for her to individuate, when she's 17 years old, because we don't want her to be daddy's little princess the rest of her life. That'll get a little weird, so it's very healthy. For children to go through all ages of healthy ego development. But along the way, yes, well, one of the greatest gifts you can give your kids is just to see them as God, to see them as the divine, and let them know that what they are is fundamentally good. Don't tell them that they don't exist, because that'll just, you'll send them to therapy, if you start telling your kids they don't exist and they're not real. So anyways, yeah, that's a beautiful question. Yes, here's one from Michelle. Craig, do we have to remember who we are in every incarnation? I hope not. if we are awake in this life, and let me keep reading here. If awake in this life, do we forget again in the next and have to remember? Okay, that's a great question. So, if any of you watched the news this last week, you might have saw Kanye West, talking some crazy things to Mr. Trump. And so I'm going to join Kanye now and say some crazy things. I hope everyone's smiling this evening. So the more you wake up, the more time just starts to unravel in the most bizarre way, the fabric of time. And so when you wake up in this lifetime, what happens is you start to simultaneously wake up in all of your lifetimes. And it's this incredible, you feel this incredible freedom that goes forward into the future, and it goes forward, and it goes forward, and it goes back into the past. And it's this amazing gift you give yourself. It's an amazing gift you give your work, give the world. There was this old quote, about the life of the Buddha. And it said, when the Buddha woke up, when he woke up, all of life woke up. And the world woke up. And so, yes, do you have to remember who you are in every incarnation? No, you don't have to remember who you are in every incarnation. But when you wake up, the freedom that you experience now, it spreads backwards, it spreads forward. And you'll feel this, you'll start to feel this relief more and more. Now, this is a very advanced state of awakening. But I can remember when this began to happen within my consciousness, I started to feel all these old forms of me being liberated. Did I know who they all were? No, absolutely not. But, some of them I can remember. And, of course, I had a couple as a, like a yogic monk, a Buddhist monk, a Franciscan monk. And then as, just like a farmer in Vietnam or China in the rice paddies. And I could just feel this smile come over that incarnation. This lightheartedness, this love, this freedom. I can also remember just going out and walking in the street at night and just Just feeling, you know, this radiance of the night sky. And remembering that this same radiance was here when I was 6, when I was 8, when I was 10. When I was 12, when I was 13, 16, 18, I spent a lot of my life, you know, just going outside at night and laying down, looking up at the stars. And you begin to realize that this experience of awakening, of freedom, is always here. It's been here throughout the totality of your life. So this is a beautiful question. And so the funny thing is from one perspective, we're waking up in this lifetime. But from a different perspective, we are waking up to what's been here, like the fabric of our very existence, the fabric of what we are, always, eternally. It's beyond lifetime. It's throughout. And the further you walk on this path, what you begin to see is that all of life is awake. Not just you. It's a beautiful thing to see that all of life is awake. They just don't know it. Most people don't know it, but you know, this thing with time, it starts to really get bizarre. You know, your experience with memory really falls away. Mind becomes quite silent. The past, it's almost as if it's healed and it disappears. And it's happening simultaneously all at once. You know, I can remember one time I was with my teacher and he was guiding me in this walking meditation. And I started to wake up and see that the whole universe was creating itself and imploding. And it was happening like within milliseconds, just over and over again. And when you start, you know, having these types of experiences, your mind, it really breaks down. It doesn't really work anymore. It doesn't know how to relate to life. It's like all of us when we were listening to Kanye West and Mr. Trump speak the other night. We're like, what the hell is, what's going on here with these alternate universes and these realities? And, you know, the funny thing is, quantum physics, physicists are, you know, saying that, yes, this is true. But when you start thinking about it, you know, with your normal human mind, it's like your mind isn't big enough to understand what the hell that is. But if you allow the awakened mind to come forward and just experience it, then you're like, oh, wow, there's something radical that's happening here. Something quite radical. That's beyond explanation, beyond philosophy, beyond some, you know, pop, psychology or pop quantum physics. Like when you start to experience it, it's quite disorienting in a very beautiful way. And so yes, Michelle, it's a beautiful question. But the good news is you don't have to worry about any of this. Like none of us need to worry about any of this. The only thing you have to do is take your next step on the path. The only thing you have to do is to have the courage to look inside and say, what's blocking me in this moment from being awake? What's blocking me? Is there something I need to see? Is there something I need to love? Is there someone I need to forgive? Is there something I need to let go of? And to give yourself permission to do your work and not, you don't have to worry about all these lifetimes and this and that. You know, I never carried, I never cared about all these multiple lifetimes. But, you know, if they present themselves to you, wonderful. If not, don't worry about it. You don't have to pay any attention to it. You don't have to pay any attention to it at all. Okay, here's a question from Carlos Craig. I'm tired of being a wet noodle. How can I develop a strong back? Lots of love. Thanks, Carlos. If you want to have a strong back, if you truly want to wake up in the world, you must give yourself permission to see that which you don't want to see. You have to see the truth, to be the truth. To love fully and deeply. So many of us, we know that there's people in our lives we need to forgive. That we could be more kind. We know when we are lying and not telling the truth. In order to wake up in this world, we have to be courageous. To be courageous enough to see where we are lying, where we are bullshitting ourselves. It's easy to be a wet noodle. It's easy to not tell the truth. The ego is a master at deceit, at lying to ourselves, at lying to others. But we're talking about something big here. True spiritual awakening has to do with being truthful, being honest about what's in your heart, listening to the deepest voice within you, not the shallowest, but the deepest voice. And so it takes courage. So many of us, we know things. We know that there's unhealed, unresolved places that are angry, that are sad, that are hurt. But we don't pay attention to them. We try to ignore them and just go into the peace. If we want the peace to stabilize, if we truly are a man of peace or a woman of peace, we must be willing to love the darkness, love the pain, love our shadow. Love someone else's shadow. You must be willing to forgive. Embrace. This is hard. It's hard work to walk in this direction. But if you look at Christ, his life wasn't easy. He chose to love those who were unlovable. And so it's this willingness to walk in this direction. Walk in this direction despite how you feel, despite what you think, despite what your ego is telling you. To say, yes, I'm choosing to love. I'm choosing to forgive my father, my mother, my brother, my sister, whoever it is that needs to be forgiven. I mean, all of us, if we're really honest, we could see there's so much within us. So much within us. Well, we need to forgive ourselves and to forgive others. Well, we could love more. So yes, that's a beautiful question, Carlos. Beautiful question. Okay, great. I have a couple more. And so if anyone has a last minute one, please type it in. Okay, this one's from Kate. Craig, I feel scared right now. I feel like I can't remember things or be present to really take in my experience. It's like a cloud has descended over my mind and it feels like I've gone brain dead or something. I'm trying to do everything in my power to release myself from fear. I just don't understand it. Why would God want me not to have my beautiful mind? Why would God want me to lose my life? I feel like I've lost my life. The point of being a vegetable. Okay, this is good. Sorry, Craig, if I sound a little bit victim-y. And so Kate is going through a powerful awakening as well. And sometimes when we go through these portals of awakening, God will put us into a place where we feel so radically empty. And Kate, she's this great, really creative artist, and now, she used to live in Los Angeles and was making, you know, all these wonderful creative things that she was wanting to bring forward in the world. And then her mind just became radically blank and empty. This is a common thing on the path, that sometimes God will just come into you and just erase your mind and leave you empty. The point of this is very much just that word that I was saying a moment ago, is to empty you out. To empty out your will, your ideas, your agenda. You know, the truth of God, Kate, is not to leave you as a vegetable. That would not be. And you'd say, what kind of God is this? You know? But what God is trying to do is try to empty you out first so that this greater mind can come forward, this greater truth, this greater love and creativity can come forward. You must give yourself permission to be blank. Some of us, we have to spend years in meditation to discover this type of emptiness. But others, you know, God, you know, sometimes God just comes into our life and says, I want you now, and I need you to be empty. I need you to be empty. A lot of people go through this same thing when they get sick. They may have this incredible drive, incredible willpower, and then God gives us chronic fatigue syndrome or cancer or something difficult, and our mind goes blank. We get wiped out. But what we don't understand is that God is rewiring us. God needs to empty us out first. God has dissolved some of our ego. So that this greater mind, this greater truth and love can come forward. And so, Kate, the big thing is can you trust? Can you trust that God knows better than you know? Can you trust God's mind more than your mind? Can you trust this truth that you are an angel, not a victim? But God needs you to empty out some of your humanity first. Can you trust that, Kate? You know, there's a time in us when God will come to us and say, I need you to be blank. I need you to be empty. I need you to let go of all that stuff that you're carrying around. And if you don't let go, I'll make you let go. And that's oftentimes that's what God does with us. But if we trust in her way, if we trust in her wisdom, if we trust in the truth that this world is a world of growth, a world of evolution, a world where we are evolving out of darkness and into the light, well, then it's a lot easier. You know, I can remember when God made me blank. It was really disoriented. It's like I couldn't even form a thought. It's very disconcerting not to be able to think. All these spiritual people want to not think, but when your mind truly becomes blank, it's really bizarre. It's like that thing that I was speaking about with time, when time falls away. It's really strange. It's really bizarre. You know, I have the trouble telling the difference between yesterday and 10 years ago. It all just seems like it's just gone. You know, if it's gone, you know. Any moment that's passed, it's just disappeared. But see, there's a freedom in that. If you truly want to live in the now, that means the past does not exist. Does not exist. This is a radical reorientation. And so, yes, Kate, this is a great question. But trust, sweetheart, trust. Okay. Let's see here. One more question. This one's from coming in from Italy here. Craig, I'd like to ask you for some guidance since finding myself in some hard mental states. I still have trouble with the addiction to smoking and some little anxieties, and then I have this hidden anger against someone else's thinking patterns. Okay, yeah, so there's a lot of different questions here. Let me just feel into it for a moment. You know, most of this, you know, he goes on to say, I know these are personal problems, so compared to the path of, you know, the opening to the true self. They are nothing, but one should master himself. Isn't that the truth? Yes, this is the truth. We must have mastery over ourselves. We must have mastery over our addictions and our emotions. But in regards to mastery over our emotions, this means we must meet them with love. Doesn't mean you need to act like someone who doesn't have emotions. Christ had emotions. He had anger, he felt sadness, he felt humiliated, he felt betrayed, you know, as of the Son of God. We're all the sons and daughters of God. But if the Son of God, if he had all these emotions, you should expect to have them too. It's how to have human emotions. To act like emotions don't exist would be, that'd be disassociative. And so we don't want to disassociate from life. We want to meet these things with love. With love. And so if you have anger about someone else's thoughts, can you love yourself? Can you help yourself to calm down? Can you give yourself permission to see the truth? The truth is that other people will have thoughts about you. Some good thoughts and some bad thoughts. You know, people write all kinds of things about me on YouTube. Sometimes people write me mean emails. I've had people in my life who've not liked me for many, many years. You know, you want to be able to smile and respond with love, to see that they are suffering, or that you are suffering because you're afflicted with worrying about what other people think. And so can you look inside and see, Victorio, can you see that you are good? Can you see that you are divine? When you see that you are divine, you're not worried about what other people think. Like, I know what I am is good. And yes, you know, we're all human, and so we make mistakes. You know, so you forgive yourself for being human, but you forgive others for being human and critical. But you see that what you are is good, that what you are is divine. That's first and foremost. And when you see that you are divine, you begin to see that you don't need cigarettes. That what you are is this master. And so can you step into your inner mastery and just gently say no to cigarettes? And so when we have these physical and psychological addictions, we want to be compassionate yet firm. And so you can wean yourself off of them or go cold turkey or, you know, take one of those pills that they sell at the pharmacist. You know, whatever it is to help yourself, to support yourself. I can remember, you know, when I was building these retreat homes for my teacher, I had a guy on the crew and he smoked. And boy, when he tried to quit smoking, he just became a bear. He would yell at me, so angry and mean. And I could see that he was really struggling, that it was hard for him. But I supported him. Supported him in quitting. I actually supported many, many friends in quitting. And so it's good just to be gentle with yourself, to respect your body, but to know what's good for you, to follow the truth. Follow the truth, my friend. This is your job, in a compassionate and loving way. But there's times when we need to be firm and say no. I know in my past when I've been addicted to things, I had to say no. No to this. No more. I got addicted to people is what I would be addicted to. Where I would, you know, be in love with someone and have a hard time letting go. And so I had to really be firm with myself. It's done. It's over. No more. No more. So I did be firm about not thinking about the past, not thinking about what I could have, would have, should have done differently. You forgive yourself and you move on. But you have to be firm when working with addiction. firm with compassion. And so, yes. And so all these were beautiful questions. And again, I just want to thank everyone for coming this evening or morning, whatever time of day it is for you. You know, the big thing here is that we're coming into our hearts. We're having the courage to say yes to the truth. Yes to what's true right here, right now. Can you open yourself fully? Can you love yourself fully? Can you experience this divinity which you are? This radiant presence of life that you are. Can you notice this quiet presence? Quiet presence looking out of your eyes right now. This thing I'm speaking about is very, very simple. It's very simple. It's the willingness to say no, to have the courage to say no to the mind, no to the ego, and to say yes to this energetic aliveness that you are, this beauty that you are, this innocence and freedom that you are. Can you give yourself permission to be simple, to be innocent, to be free right here, right now? Right now. Can you step into this? This ever-present silence and eternity. Say yes. Something so beautiful here, so divine, so true. So thank you all for joining me, and you know, if you're at the Science of Non-Duality conference in a couple weeks, come say hi. If you're in Cincinnati in November, come say hi. You know, if you feel drawn to come on retreat and to truly give yourself the gift of deepening into this presence. I cannot tell you how much I value retreat time to deepen, to give yourself 2 or 3 days just to deepen, to go inward and say yes to the truth. And please join me. Please join me in January. So thank you all so much. Thank you all for the donations. If anyone wants to support this program, you can visit craigholiday.com. There's a PayPal link there. We can offer you a donation that helps spread this work. So thank you all so much. My heart is with yours. May peace be with you. And please do have a good night, good morning, good day to you. Much love. Bye-bye.